And welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today, and we're excited this weekend. The docudrama Roe v. Wade, scheduled to the big release. That's this weekend on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, every on-demand system out there. So it is nationwide and available for your download for your watching this weekend. And the film is featuring actors John Voight, Corbin Burnson. And it traces the famous abortion court case back to conspiracies and lies involving fake polls, Hollywood's influence, Planned Parenthood's Margaret Sanger, and so forth. The story is told, and the story has to be told. This is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, Supreme Court decision that set the cultural direction for America and for the entire Western world, and perhaps even the whole world, in 1973. So the story needs to be told. And it is told in this new docudrama, Roe v. Wade, and roevwademovie.com is the website. If you'd like to check that out, watch the preview that's available right now at roevwademovie.com. The film was screened at CPAC to rave reviews back in February, and I would call it the most controversial film of the year. Now, I haven't seen all the films yet, but this is probably going to be the most controversial film of the year. There's no issue that divides the nation, friends, as you know, as abortion, the killing of children. These are persons. These are people created in the image of God. So 50% of Americans are pro-life-ish, and 50% of Americans are pro-abortion-ish, depending on the polls. And that can go 45-55. It almost always bends pro-life. But roughly half of Americans are going to love this film. The other, I don't know, 50%, maybe 40% are going to like it. I hope that at least 50% of Americans watch the film and get up to speed on this issue. So what was that? 178 million Americans watching this film. That would be a good start. Now, this film is going after the sacred cows of sacred cows. As y'all know, the sacrament of abortion, it's a big deal for the left. Well, I've got the director of Roe v. Wade now on Generations. We're privileged to have Nick Loeb join us on Generations. Welcome, Nick. Good to have you here.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Kevin. I appreciate it.
You bet. Wow. You took on Roe v. Wade, the dragon, the big one, the big dragon. Not many people are going to have the chutzpah to go after this beast. What inspired you, Nick?
I've been in the film business for over 20 years. To be honest, you know, I was sort of in shock that no one actually made a movie about the most famous court case in American history. I mean, we make movies on everything out in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, maybe because it's a boring courtroom drama and there was nothing interesting involved. And, you know, when I looked into it and I researched it, I was sort of in shock. I was like, this is like an Oliver Stone conspiracy JFK movie. And so this is going to be entertaining, not boring at all. And so, you know, I took it on.
Yeah. You believe this was a true conspiracy. I mean, this was just evil, deceptive, bad to the bone from the beginning. Do you believe that?
Yeah, there were a lot of players involved. For some people, it was about making money. For other people, it was about saving women. Other people, it was about just women's rights. I think everybody sort of had their own motivations. Not everybody was, I don't think, truly evil. And I think some people, back in 1973, you know, a lot of people didn't actually think they were killing babies, right? I mean, I was born in 1975, and I grew up in the 80s and 90s. I myself was involved in two abortions in my 20s because when I was raised, I was taught that when a woman gets pregnant, it's just a clump of cells, until the baby kicks. And so, you know, I think the majority of people didn't really know an abortion was actually killing the life of a human being. So, I mean, the people today who are, you know, people say shout your abortion, and the people are proud of, you know, having five or six abortions and can't wait to have another and talk about that. You know, those are evil people. But there are a lot of people out there who just really struggle with this, and we try to show this movie in a fair and balanced light, not to alienate the other side, because you know, as you mentioned, we don't want just 50% of America to see this movie. You know, we want, you know, everybody, and especially those in the middle and somewhere people are on the fence or maybe just pro-life, pro-choice light.
So, but there's a lot of deception. The point is there's a cover-up. That's why people don't know what's going on. There's got to be a cover-up of multiple levels going on. People don't want to know about, or people don't want people to know about Margaret Sanger's eugenics thing that, you know, fetuses are feeling pain in their mother's wombs when this all stuff is happening. They don't want to know about the, you know, trafficking baby body parts. I mean, there's cover-ups happening. Isn't that true?
Yeah, I mean, and it does go back all the way to Roe. I mean, not just, I mean, all the things you mentioned just now is very present day. But, you know, you know, I think the irony in the film is that people who see it, it was like, you know, we all talk about fake news today, like it was happening back then. And I think back then it was more prolific, you know, lies and manipulation and fake news, because back then, you know, there was no social media to correct or challenge. There weren't as many periodicals out there on both sides.
Right.
I think it was much more rampant. And the only way you would find out if people came out and admitted it, and which a lot of people who are involved in the movement came out years later and say, hey, you know, we completely manipulated a lot of the media. We completely lied to them. We made up statistics. We made up numbers. We planted fake stories. You know, all this to you know, get abortion legalized. And you'll see all of that in the film. And it was a whole conspiracy. You know, wasn't the movie has nothing to do with one woman named Jane Roe or Norma McCorvey, mm-hmm. who Jane Roe is named after. It really was, you know, Planned Parenthood, NARAL, major organizations who constructed this whole thing.
Why do you think the media and Hollywood were so crucial in convincing the U.S. Supreme Court justices? I mean, you'd think these men would not be so given to the shifting winds of public opinion, that kind of thing. Why was public opinion, why was Hollywood so powerful to make this happen?
I mean, Kevin, come on, look what's happening today. I mean, look at the presidential election.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, look at the influence of the media and power in Hollywood have today on the courts. Mm-hmm. Nothing's changed. Right. People are influenced in the media. The media is the most powerful thing on the planet. And it just has been. People tend to believe what they hear and what they read. And it is what it is.
Yeah.
That's the world we live in today.
Do you think you can crack that with indie film? I mean, can you crack Hollywood? Is this message going to get out?
Well, I think it will. And, you know, I don't think it's going to crack. And maybe it'll put a small dent. It'll start the process. I think, you know, I think more conservatives need to fund movies. You know, that real movies and not just faith based cheesy films, but real movies that have a message, that talk about the truth. I mean, you're never going to escape the media bias. I mean, like I can tell you this morning on our website, there is actually, because a lot of people saw the movie during screenings, it saw scenes like, no way, you guys made that up. That's not true. So what we did to combat that, we put up a fact check section on our website, RoeVWadeMovie.com fact check.
Yeah, I saw that.
Where you can read the scene and then you can see the actual source. If we came from a newspaper, an autobiography, a letter, an interview, of where we actually sourced, and no, we didn't use Wikipedia, where we actually really sourced where it came from. That being said, there was an article that came out this morning in Variety. For those who don't know, Variety is a Hollywood publication, and it says, anti-abortion drama has no use for facts. And then it proceeds in the article to not debunk one thing in the entire movie, but uses that as a headline to try to say that we made stuff up. They obviously didn't go to our fact check section because they weren't able to, or maybe they did and ignored it because they weren't even able to list in their article any lies that we told, but yet they said in the headline we lied.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's what you have going for you.
Yeah. Well, the film was quite a while in coming out. I mean, you guys hit a lot of obstacles along the way.
A typical independent films take a long time to make because you got to raise private funding and get, you know, independent distribution. I mean, we did hit some bumps in regards to specifically, the content from, you know, agencies telling their actors not to do the movie, from locations not allowing us to use it because of the content. But on the flip side, you know, we had locations offered for free and people donating out of the blue to the movie. And, you know, we had an outpouring of support. And so I think, you know, the positives outweigh the negatives at the end of the day. And now that the final product is out there and people have, you know, seen it, are have been blown away, you know, by the movie.
Yeah.
So we're now, really grateful for that.
Now, Bernard Nathanson, Dr. Nathanson, a super key figure in the film. Actually, I was convinced to the pro-life position and to advocate for the pro-life position in my college years in 1983. Watch The Silent Scream. Remember that? In September of 1983, it came out. And it was screened in our college campus by the Coalition of American Pro-Life University Students, as a campus group. And I, you know, instantly became this pro-life advocate watching the film. But why did you choose Dr. Nathanson as the point of view perspective for the film? And actually, you acted the part as well, didn't you?
I did. So, you know, films are told, you can't tell an actual movie on an event, right? And movies are told through characters.
Yeah.
So we had to find a character to tell the story. And everyone was like, well, why didn't you use Jane Roe? Or why didn't you use Henry Wade? Well, what's interesting is, although the court case is called Roe v. Wade, Jane Roe and Henry Wade had almost nothing to do with the case whatsoever. I mean, Jane Roe, whose really name is Norma Corby, she was a prop. They met her, they signed her up and never talked to her again. She didn't even find out about the results of the case, and her lawyers didn't even tell us. She found out on the media. And so we needed to find a protagonist. There were a lot of people involved in the movement. And then we really found that the two leaders of the movement who started this all were a guy named Larry Lader and Bernard Nathanson, who both founded NARAL, which is sort of the equivalent of Planned Parenthood. And Bernard's story, we wanted to tell both sides. And Bernard lived both sides. And so we really tell the movie, you know, initially from the pro-choice perspective. And that's where you learn active. And we tell that through the eyes of Dr. Bernard Nathanson, and you follow his journey all the way through conversion. And we found that to be sort of the most interesting. And he was the most charismatic, you know, person and interesting person involved, and with a great, you know, life arc, created a great story arc for our movie. And that's why we used, as we like to call him, Bernie.
Yeah. How did he make the change? When did he make the change? How did he make the change from a pro-abortion to pro-life position?
So in 1974, which was the year after Roe was decided, new sonogram technology came out. He did started doing abortions using the new sonogram technology, realized he was killing babies. And it took him a while, but over, you know, about a decade, he ended up converting. Okay. And then in 1989, made this famous documentary called The Silent Scream, where for your audience that doesn't know what that is where he performs an abortion under a sonogram. So you can see the fetus getting ripped apart, and it's a real baby getting ripped apart. You know, he ends up having his conversion to becoming pro-life. And then later in his life, he goes from being sort of a Jewish born atheist, to converting to Catholicism. And he was then baptized at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York by Cardinal O'Connor. We were lucky enough to be the only film in U.S. history to be allowed to go inside and shoot scenes inside St. Patrick's on Fifth Avenue, which are spectacularly beautiful, which you'll see in the movie.
Now, did you identify with Bernard Nathanson in some way? I mean, is that why you wanted to play the part?
And that also was a perspective of mine. I, too, you know, was involved in abortions and I was pro-choice when I was younger. And then converted as I got older, you know, maybe a little spiritually, but I'm not that religious. More, it was a scientific thing for me when technology was more readily available and I could hear a heartbeat. I even Google now and you can see, you know, babies in their first trimester sucking their thumbs and moving around. And they're, you know, it's a human being. there's no mistake for it. It's not a clump of cells. It's an actual life. It's a human being. And I wish, you know, we all learned that, you know, earlier on, but I think the new generation is. And so I have a tremendous amount of hope for the new generation, who is actually, if you look at any of the polls and statistics out there, are trending more pro-life than ever in history before.
That's one of the most interesting things is, you know, America has been roughly 50-50. The Gallup poll, it's hard to follow because just simply saying, do you want to ban everything or nothing? And so it's a little hard to, you know, identify exactly where Americans are. But it seems like America has never been, you know, 60-70% pro-abortion, which is one of the statistics that was tossed around in 73. 22% of Americans want abortion legal under any circumstance in 1976. Only 22% of Americans really wanted Roe v. Wade in 1976. That's the Gallup poll first taken in 1976. Only 22%. I mean, that's nothing, nothing close to 60. And by the way, that number is only like 25% in 2019. So it really hasn't changed that much. That's you know, the difference is all in the dirt there. Do you think that abortion is riding hard on the American conscience? I mean, you know, obviously they consider there to be something wrong.
I mean, it rides hard every election. It's really brought to the forefront. I mean, every time there's a new Supreme Court nominee and every time there's an election and the news rides it really, really hard. You know, I do believe in my heart of hearts that it's, you know, one of the major issues out there that will change. Because of technology. I think, you know, when people are faced with it, I mean, even today, the statistics are through the roof for women who go to get abortions, who are faced with to have to get sonograms. 80% change their mind. 80%.
That's huge. That's huge.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
Let's talk about the film one more time. John Voight. How did you get John Voight for a leading role?
You know, John, I got John the script. He read it. He called me. He said, Nick, there's so much information in here. It's such an incredible script. This is the kind of stuff. These are the kind of stories that need to get told.
Okay.
And, you know, I'd love to do the movie. Mm-hmm. And so we are blessed to have John, who did an amazing job playing Chief Justice Warren Burger.
Right. What do you think is the most exciting and interesting part of the film? I mean, the riveting part that you just don't want to miss.
Wow. That's hard to say. I mean, I think the Supreme Court scenes are the debates between the justices, not necessarily in the Supreme Court, but they're out of Supreme Court backroom conversations, I think is something that American cinema has never tackled for any court case. Okay. And to see how Supreme Court justices converse and make decisions and decide with one another is very, very interesting. An inside look to that, especially since picking Supreme Court justices have become so visceral over the past couple decades. I think this is a unique look inside this, and I think that is really some of the most riveting stuff in the film.
Yeah. Well, it seems to me this film is one of the most important films that's been done on this issue or any, you know, big issue in American history, and you're getting canceled, aren't you? I mean, you're a victim of the cancel culture to some extent. Do you think it's getting worse? I mean, is it getting harder for indie films or easier?
I mean, I think it's harder, and I think people are super afraid today to talk out and to say what they truly believe. I think that we're going down a dangerous and slippery slope here with that. But being 45 and being through several cycles of American history and politics in my life, the pendulum always swings the other way and it swings back hard. So, you know, I just think, you know, they're just going to hurt themselves at the end of the day, because at some point they're going to come down restrictions on, you know, the people who are creating cancel culture in a massive way. I think in the next 10 years, you will see companies like Facebook and Twitter broken up.
I think so. Yeah. What are the chances of this thing getting into the theaters? I mean, is that important to you?
No, we didn't want to go in the theaters. The problem with going to the theaters today is, A, nobody's really going. 25%
that's true.
Fast.
That's a good
you
point.
Go to the theaters, right, you're restricted from streaming for 3 months. And so, you know, we really wanted to get this movie into every American's home all at the same time. And so it's going to be this weekend, you know, Easter weekend. I think it's very serendipitous that it happened to be land on Easter weekend. Anybody who's got essentially cable or satellite can get it on demand. If you prefer to get it on Amazon or iTunes or Google Play or Vudu, I mean, essentially, you know, every single American in the country has the ability to buy the movie and download it this weekend. And so we're super excited about about that.
A critical story, a critical film for our day, my friends. I'd encourage you to check it out at roevwademovie.com. By the way, you can host a screening as well. There's options for hosting a screening. You're going to do it in a church. It's $500 for 100 people, so that's pretty reasonable. And released this weekend everywhere. So you can get it anywhere this weekend. I encourage you to it. It's roevwademovie.com. Our guest today, Nick Loeb, a director for the film. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate you.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.